Hey there, guys and gals, geeks and gamers. You're listening to the Nerd of Godcast, that place on the Venn diagram of life where Christ culture and nerd culture come together for sweet, sweet two-player co-op.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to your Nerd of Godcast, that place where we get all of the things that make us geek out, give glory to God. We smush them together, throw them in a blender, throw in a scoop of Häagen-Dazs, and make ourselves a little shake of all of the good things. I could go for a milkshake right about now. How about you?
Yeah.
Big time.
That is the rousing round of a we can have shake. And there's people at this table that are very, very lactose intolerant.
Risk it for the biscuit.
That's what you gotta do. My name's Tony T, and I'm gonna be taking you on this little tour through the magical mystery land of faith and fandom, but I'm not gonna be doing it by myself. Sitting by my side, he is the very best at being the very worst, the Raging Cajun of the King Under the Mountain. With me as always, it is Steve Supremo.
Hello, everybody. Wawa now sells a birthday cake milkshake. And I've never had a Wawa shake, but that's about enough to make me want to try one.
I don't know why they're going to say I've never had a birthday cake.
And I'm like, never Steven.
I've never had a birthday cake.
Never had a birth.
Ironically, I love birthday cake
that's
flavored
not true.
Stuff.
Steven has birthed many. he has a litter of kittens at home
of
that,
births.
He has.
I've assisted in the births of.
From
I've never
his loins.
He's one of the.
From his loins?
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. Come on, moving on. He's one of the best guys you'll ever want to meet until you're on the wrong side of a PvP match with him. It is the one, the only Jamaican Ollie.
Speaking of
birthday kittens.
Celia's birthday was yesterday, my
Aww,
wife.
Happy
birthday. She probably never listened to
this.
Celia's not a listener, so
no.
You know what? Forget it, Celia. Nothing for you.
Yes. No happy birthday.
She listens live. Oliver has hacked our system, and she gets the live feed.
Celia,
she's on the phone right now.
Oliver pulls his mask off right now. It's been Celia.
Oh, happy birthday.
We love Celia.
By the way,
she
it's my birthday.
Celia's been Neff all along, too.
That explains a lot.
Speaking of Neff, he is often imitated, never successfully duplicated, to the big man, Quentin Gregory Neff.
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, Celia.
How was your birthday?
It's been great.
Moving on, she's a punk rock pirate, travels the seven seas, your friend and mine, Alexandria Marika.
I need you all to know that I'm literally still crying tears because of what happened just before the show happening.
Which was what?
Nope, we're not going to talk about it.
Just
we're not going to talk about it.
He's so out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Or Celia.
We're still not sure.
She is.
You'll never know.
Salty. She's sweet. She's conveniently pocket-sized. Your window to the magic, Jackie freaking Wilson.
If you guys ever wondered why our episodes are so long, it's because everyone at this table is either undiagnosed and or unmedicated ADHD.
Yeah. ADHD.
That's not true. I'm diagnosed and medicated.
It really does explain.
It's, yeah, I mean, it's kind of showing right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm the only one okay. Well, I'll stop. I wasn't the reason why it took us 20 minutes to start.
You know what? I want to salute Steven for learning to pump the brakes. Discretion is not one
good
of his default
strengths. Proud of you, big dog.
So it's the Adderall. It helps a lot. 40 milligrams a day does a lot.
Ask your doctor if Adderall's right for you.
# not a sponsor.
Yeah. She's here to learn or just watch it burn. She's Charlotte the intern.
Hi, guys. I like that.
Thank you. How you doing, Cece?
I'm doing great. I'm doing real good.
And over in the booth, pushing all the buttons that keep this bucket of bolts flying, he's your own resident smart guy, Nick the Engineer.
Hello.
Nick, you are a great man, and I just want you to know that. Thank you for being the best.
Thank you.
And, of course, our favorite people that are around the table is really just you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah.
And the best way for you to connect with us and join the chat is to do it across the social medias. Christian, the Dragon, Zadok, tell them how they can do it.
Wherever there's people online who love Jesus and nerdy stuff, the Nerd of Godcast is there. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, X, Threads, TikTok, and YouTube at Nerd of Godcast. Become a supporter of this ministry at patreon.com/nerdofgodcast. You can also subscribe to our daily Nerd Devos on your favorite podcast app or on Alexa. Finally, join our online small group, the Nerd of God Squad, on Facebook by going to nogsquad.com. The Nerd of God Squad. Share some memes and live your dreams.
And we're going to open up with a question tonight, get a little icebreaker, find out what you're all about. And the question goes a little something like this.
Hey, man, what are you really into, huh?
And the question is, what are you really into? So let's talk about, around this group of people, these fine friends of faith and fandom, what it is that you've been geeking out about lately. What movies you've been watching, what shows you've been into, what games have you been playing. Tell us what you are really into, Jackie.
So my fiance and I just recently started playing Stardew Valley.
Oh, aww. My goodness.
Which has been super fun.
The beginning of his emasculation. Congratulations.
Isn't it so great?
It's really fun. We've been doing it as co-op, which has been like really interesting to see how we kind of play together, and like we both have different ways of approaching the game, so it's been a fun, like almost like a team building thing for us to do. We have a shared bank account prepping us for marriage.
Oh yeah. Some real fiance
like
things.
Hey, can I go buy some pumpkins? Yeah, sure, babe, go ahead.
Fiance.
So
finance.
Cute.
Oh, period.
Did you see that they have a new game that's coming? So you're wearing your Shire shirt.
I am.
They have a new game coming to the Switch, which is basically like Stardew Valley, Animal Crossing, but it's set in the Shire.
I have seen that, and I desperately want it.
It's so for real.
Put it on the wedding registry.
You know,
it's
don't ask me twice.
Now I have to buy a Switch. I have always kind of been into this, but I've rediscovered my love for Magic the Gathering.
Okay.
I quit playing for a few years just because I didn't have anybody to play with. And I discovered that a bunch of my coworkers actually play. So we go out a couple times a week and play. But my one coworker, Noah, has a Fallout deck.
Okay.
Ooh.
And it's the worst because there's something in the game that allows him to give us rad counters.
Yeah.
And we get rad counters, and we have to get rid of our cards from our deck.
Hey, I've been rad since like the early 80s. I just stopped counting.
You're so funny. But what he thinks is actually hurting me actually helps me, because my graveyard becomes my playable deck with my pirates. So
I have no idea the sentence you just said. That makes no sense.
I'm so intrigued.
That's okay.
Wait. Hold on. So someone hit you with some radiation, and now your graveyard has become a play place for your pirates. I don't even know how to play
Zombies.
Magic, but now I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, sign me.
I'm so in.
He thinks it hurts me, but I actually just end up coming back from the grave and then controlling his deck.
So are you still talking about the game? Because it sounds like you're talking about your relationship status right now. This is your online dating profile, right?
He
thinks he's hurting me, but I come
deck.
Back from the grave, and now I'm the boss. Swipe right.
So that should be my intro.
That's what I'm saying. Neff, what are you really into, man?
So I started watching this show, well, two shows. The first one is called Shogun.
Shogun.
Yeah.
It is so good.
Not to be confused with Gun Show, which is where the rednecks hang out.
Yeah. You mean this gun show?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, don't bang, look directly. Bang. Don't look at the trap.
You got a permit for those concealed weapons?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Unnecessary in Florida.
No, but it's really cool. It's like it's set in like feudal Japan in like the year 1600. It's like a big politics vacuum.
I've been wanting to watch this.
It's really cool. Now, I will say it's very adult, so just be ready. The language is a little curse, but
it's okay. I don't speak Japanese, so they can curse all they want to.
Yeah. But I'm watching that, and then on the opposite end of the spectrum, I've been watching a show called Knuckles.
Oh, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic the Hedgehog, yeah.
You said Knuckles like you had to explain to everybody what it was.
Yeah.
Knuckles, you say?
A little show called Knuckles.
It's about joints.
You wouldn't really know about it.
Charlotte, pull out. All right.
But Knuckles is just a lovely, it's just so funny and so much fun.
Is it Idris Elba?
It is Idris Elba.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I double up on how much I love it.
How the mighty have fallen.
Yeah. As soon as Celia heard that Idris Elba was voicing that, she's like, okay,
she
that's on my list.
Another bit of proof.
Yeah. Clear my schedule.
Neff has been Celia all the time. You open him up and it's just Celia.
I love the lore that's happening here.
Oliver, give Neff a hug and see if it feels familiar.
Okay.
Now we're going full circle back to Neff and Address.
Oh, yeah.
Ollie, what have you been into, man?
Actually, I just finished watching the X-Men remake, X-Men 97.
97, yeah.
I kind of binge-watched it between yesterday and today, and I really liked it.
It's a lot of fun.
It's really cool.
Yeah, the nostalgia, but they kind of, you know, brought it forward. They made it, I wouldn't say adult, but, you know, you get what I'm saying?
They grew it up a little bit.
They did. They definitely grew it up. Yeah. Yeah,
the animation is crazy.
Yes, it is. It's really, really good.
Super cool. Steve-O, what you into, man?
Well, I don't want to go generic for me. I did. This was a while ago, but I binged the Fallout show in like a day.
Okay.
Made me start playing Fallout again. But what I've really been into over the last week or so is I started reading the life stories of the Marvel comics, starting with the Fantastic Four
version, is so good.
Which was really good. And I'm about halfway through the Spider-Man life story, which is also really
good. Is it also like by the decades?
It is.
So each issue is it takes place in a decade.
Yeah.
And then they kind of fast forward to the next decade, but the characters age up.
Yeah.
So whereas the Fantastic Four start in the 1960s with their origin.
Yeah.
It carries the story through like
through the 2010s. I think the last issue takes place in like 2017.
So they age. So there's like a 50 year.
Reed Richards is elderly in the last issue.
Yeah. It's really cool.
And where would one find this?
Marvel Unlimited. If you sign up right now, it's 97 cents for
just
the first month.
Just use promo code X-Men 97.
Yeah.
It's 97 cents for your first month.
Tell them the Godcast sent you.
The Spider-Man one.
Not a sponsor.
Waiting for a sponsor.
The Spider-Man one is also really good, but it really made me think like differently. Like, so in this universe, because in 1962 is when he gets his powers, that means Peter was born in the 40s.
Yeah.
And I had never thought about that.
Okay, okay, boomer.
Being born in, he was a baby boomer. Mm-hmm. I just never thought about that.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't, even though they're the same kind of story, they're not the same universe, because Reed Richards shows up in the Spider-Man one, and it's not the same Reed Richards as in the Fantastic Four life story.
Gotcha. Same template, but different.
Exactly.
Cool. Yeah. Charlotte the Intern?
I've been really into movies lately, so I've been watching like indie romance movies.
Okay.
So I started with Eternal Sunshine.
Yes.
And then...
I was just thinking of that one.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good.
As soon as you said that, I was like, that was the first one that came to my mind.
So I watched Eternal Sunshine and then 500 Days of Summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so good. Mm-hmm. And then I watched Garden State.
So nice.
And
I can feel my estrogen levels rising.
And I watched, my most recent one was Juno. I watched Juno for the first time. Oh, it was Juno. So good.
Right?
It was so good.
My angst is rising.
Nice. Yeah, you know, that's what Scott Higa said. I posted that I was watching, or I posted a clip from 500 Days of Summer, and he was like, did you ever see Garden State? I was in my angsty phase, and Garden State was my 500 days. And I was like, I literally just watched Garden State. So
Garden State, I had a real life experience that was very similar. When I watched Garden State, I felt Garden State.
Really?
Yeah, there was it hit really close to home for me.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I just got to watch The Mummy in theaters on Friday, which was fantastic. Brendan Fraser on the big screen.
Very different movie than Garden State.
Very different, but you saying you watching movies made me be like, yeah, I actually got to watch movies this week. I went to a movie theater.
You
have
never seen The Mummy?
No, I haven't.
The first one is great.
She wasn't alive when it came out.
Okay, well, let me be fair. I was like 5 when it came out, so I wasn't going to go get to see it in theaters, but
Alexander was talking to Charlotte.
Yeah.
Nick, what have you really been into, buddy?
Not much. Can I say Bluey?
Being a dad.
Nick is now on the, we're going to call him Nick Jr.
Hey, don't knock Bluey into the
trash. No,
go ahead,
no, listen,
tell him.
I've never heard a child talk about Bluey. I've only ever heard adults talk about Bluey.
Very good, exactly.
Not me shedding tears over a TV show meant for children.
Right? Absolutely. I've been playing some games. I just got WWE 2K24. A little late to the party. I'm really liking it. But I got a game for Christmas. I haven't had the. I'll give you the short version of the story. I haven't had enough hard drive space on my PS5 to download games. So I kind of got to where I was like, oh, I'm going to stop downloading games. My wife got me Final Fantasy 16 for Christmas.
Nice.
So I got an additional hard drive. I got a little extra 2 terabyte hard drive.
Oh, yeah.
Threw it in my PS5, so now I got some extra space in there. And, man, I popped in Final Fantasy 16. So far, I love it.
Have you played any of Rebirth yet?
No, I have not.
He played the original.
I want to be able to talk to you about it.
He was there when it was written.
That's true.
But Rebirth is so good.
But 16 is very, very good. So far, it seems very very Game of Thrones inspired.
Mm.
Like lots of stuff that I'm going, I like this the first time I saw it when it was called Game of Thrones. so far good. We'd love to know what you are really into. Let us do that all across the social medias at Nerd of Godcast. And we got some more business to take care of, because right now we need to get into our best thing
ever.
Best thing ever, as we get very, very close to the end of our best squads ever. Neff, Who was on the block last week?
It was from Space Jam, the Toon Squad.
Yeah, everybody get up. It's time to slam now.
Yeah, versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Cowabunga. How'd we do?
Did somebody just boo the Ninja Turtles?
No, it said ooh.
Oh, I thought you booed them.
Boo.
You can boo the Ninja Turtles if you want to. This is a democracy.
The
it's
queen
a safe
of film.
Space.
But only the
queen
Michael
of
Bay.
Slime. The queen of putrescence.
I love the Princess Bride. But yeah, how'd it go? Thank you.
80 to 20.
Oh, okay, so not even close.
Toon Squad, right?
No,
in favor of the Ninja Turtles.
Nice. Yeah.
Daggum right.
All right, well, there, that's that. And now we have our final semifinal brackets completely set.
Woo.
And we are going to go into a best thing ever, double play.
Oh, yeah, double.
Double elimination. Because tonight we are going to have both of our best thing ever on the table. That's right.
Man.
We've got the kids from Stranger Things.
Ooh. The best ever, period.
Versus the Fellowship of the Ring.
Not as good.
Potatoes.
Less than.
And
whoa.
We are going to have the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Cowabunga.
Versus the Ghostbusters.
Whoa. Hey, that's really going to be, I feel like that's going to be a close
that's
race.
That's going to be a tough one. That's going to be a tough one. So we've got two amazing squads versus two amazing squads.
Yeah.
And this is a double play. So you can go over to the NerdyGodcast fan page on Facebook, the NerdyGod Squad. If you're not a member, just go to NogSquad.com. It'll leapfrog you straight there. Use hashtag best thing ever, and you can find these polls. Vote now and let us know who you think should go on and be the final round champion of the best thing ever.
What a great lineup.
Yeah, it really has come down from a great collection of teams and boy,
stacked house.
I'm honestly like I don't think that the Stranger Things kids have the clout to pull it off. But my prediction, I think it's going to be Fellowship of the Ring versus the Ghostbusters.
I think that's what it's going
to
be.
Yeah, so too.
Awesome. But it could be Ninja Turtles.
I could go tell everyone to vote Stranger Things.
You know what? You might want to start texting them now.
It doesn't work.
Let them know.
I tried that then, like the first season, and it didn't work.
But also, Steven, it's you.
But it's Steven.
I didn't. That back then, I did not have the reputation that I have now.
Not the most popular boy in the bowl.
I just want to do the opposite of what he says. That's all.
So let me ask you this. We talked about going to see movies. Mm-hmm. We talked about the different things like that. I just saw a trailer. Neff shared with me a few days ago that this was going to be coming out, and I watched it. And we talked about it quickly at church the other day, but we didn't really get all into it. Transformers 1. Have you guys seen the trailer for this?
No. The new cartoon one?
It's animated.
Animated, yes.
Okay. And no, definitely not.
It's Chris Hemsworth is
okay.
Optimus Prime.
I'm interested.
Mm-hmm. And who's Megatron?
Probably Chris Pratt.
No.
It's the dude from, he was in Bullet Train. He was
Brad Pitt.
Gross.
He's black.
Oh,
he was in Atlanta. He was in Joker.
Was he in Eternals?
Y'all can keep naming stuff.
Eternals.
I don't know
that
who
guy.
This is.
I can't think of his name.
Oh, yeah. Nope.
Brian Tyree Henry.
Yes, that guy. Yeah. Three-name guy.
Scarlett Johansson. Keegan-Michael Key. John Hamm. Lawrence Fishburne. Steve Buscemi.
Dang.
And they're all playing Transformers.
A-list.
But it's a Transformers origin story.
Okay.
So they're back on Cybertron, and Optimus Prime is not Optimus Prime yet. He's Orion Pax. So
I didn't know that he had an original name.
He did have an original name, and they went into that in the original Generation 1 series. They did a flashback episode where they were still on Cybertron. He had not become a Prime yet, and he gets the mantle of, now we know it's the Autobot matrix of leadership, and becomes the leader of the Autobots. But before he was Optimus Prime, he was lowly Orion Pax. And this is sort of a buddy movie of him and Megatron.
I love a good buddy movie.
Before they were Autobots, D16, before they were Decepticons.
It's like X-Men First Class, but Optimus Prime and Megatron.
And, yes. But it feels like it's kind of got that Guardians of the Galaxy sensibility to it.
Okay.
So very tongue-in-cheek, very funny, like lots of humor to it. It looked really, really interesting. But it got me thinking that this was before they were even Transformers. They couldn't even transform yet in this movie.
They were just robots.
They were just robots.
No disguise.
No disguise.
No disguise.
Exactly what meets the eye. That was it was not more than meets the eye just yet. And I thought, this is interesting. I'll probably watch it because I'm a big Transformers fan. I really like it. It's going to be weird.
Same.
But I like that Chris Hemsworth is doing an Optimus Prime voice.
Yeah.
Like he sounds,
is that just being himself?
He sounds like young Optimus Prime.
It's it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I would not have known that it was Chris Hemsworth if you didn't tell me. It was very, very good.
Which is nice.
But it was an interesting concept because I was thinking, Orion, we know Optimus Prime, you know, leader of the Autobots, but this is the pre-story of how he had this whole existence as Orion Pax, as this young, you know, robot who's just, you know, wide-eyed and adventurous and looking for his place in the world. And what it made me think of was the 1986 Transformers, the movie.
Yeah.
And in that movie, which I'm excited because they're re-releasing it in theaters. I bought my tickets to see it. I would be rocking to "You've Got the Touch" on the way to the theater. In that movie, they introduce a whole new kind of generation, basically a whole new bunch of merchandising opportunities. Yes.
Merchandising.
A whole new collection of characters for your parents to buy.
That's exactly why they came out with this.
Sort of the main character of the Transformers animated movie is not Optimus Prime. It's Hot Rod.
Who's
the young upstart Autobot who, you know, he's kind of drifting, looking for a reason. Nobody takes him seriously.
He's my favorite Transformer.
He's played by Judd Nelson of The Breakfast Club.
Right on.
And, he's sort of the guy that, again, he's the kid. Nobody takes him seriously. He's not a warrior. He's not, you know, some wise leader. He doesn't have the clout that Prime does. But Optimus Prime, because we needed another reason to scar the children of the 80s, is killed in the movie. And he has to pass on the Autobot matrix of leadership. He passes it on to Ultra Magnus.
Ultra Magnus, that was his name. Sorry, it was bothering me. I could not remember his name.
He remembers Ba-Weep, Grana-Weep, Nitty-Bon, but he doesn't remember Ultra Magnus. So the whole movie, you know, you've got this group of Transformers and they're fighting this just losing battle against a reinvigorated Decepticons, Unicron, a planet-eating planet who's also a giant Transformer. And all through this time, Hot Rod is kind of like learning and growing and kind of coming into his own until finally at the end of the movie when everything seems lost, the music swells and he gets the Autobot matrix of leadership and it chooses him. And he becomes... instead of Hot Rod, he becomes Rodimus Prime, and he, and becomes the new leader of the Autobots. And I just thought, this whole movie, I'm digging this character. I'm with Hot Rod. I'm a kid watching this, so I can relate to him as sort of being the kid that nobody takes seriously. And then he becomes the leader of the Autobots, and it's this really like amazing, empowering moment. Instead of being like this sports car, he becomes like this sports car with this big camper background on it. Like he becomes like a truck too. And I just thought, wow, what a cool transition to go from, you know, this character into that character. And that got me thinking. It's promotion Sunday. We're in, by the time this comes out, in the words of Justin Timberlake, it's gonna be
May.
And this is the time when people come near to graduating. You know, Lismati is not here with us tonight because she is finishing up some schoolwork and she is on the verge of graduating. Alexandria is on the verge of graduating. So we've got some scholars amongst us.
They're both about to finish high school.
That's right. It's gonna
so
be great.
Proud of them.
It's gonna be great. But in this season where you have people that are kind of getting promoted, graduating from one thing to the next, you know, Neff in children's ministry, you have all the little ones that are about to come in to kids' church, all the bigger ones that are about to go out of kids' church. You probably got some big ones that you're ready to have them go out of kids' church, right? Like send them to youth group, make it somebody else's problem.
Yep.
Neff just got like the 1,000-mile stare in his eyes. I just need everyone to know that.
But I was thinking about characters, and I want to talk about this with you guys tonight as we get into it. The characters that we know that, and I'm not talking like origin story characters. I'm not saying, oh, like, you know, here's Steve Rogers and he takes some super soldier serum and becomes Captain America. I'm talking about what does Captain America become? What are the characters that we love and we've tracked with, and then suddenly there's this evolution. Suddenly there's this advancement in who they are. And I'm just interested to hear some of maybe your favorites or give me some ideas, because I was thinking about it and I was having a hard time listing as many as I'm sure are out there.
The first one that came to my mind was Gandalf the Grey becoming Gandalf the White.
That's a great one. Great answer. And one of my favorite scenes when they're in the woods at Fangorn Forest, and they're like the White Wizard, and it's like every time I watch that movie with somebody who's never seen it, it's like, oh, you haven't seen that one yet. Sorry.
Yeah.
Charlotte bailed after a Fellowship.
Here we go.
Oh no, but by all means, 500 Days of Summer.
I think what's really cool about that transition, though, is that it's so unexpected.
Yeah.
Like, they really thought that he was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when he comes back...
But you can't be gone if you're the Jesus character of
the movie. Right. Yeah. But it's an unexpected...
Yeah.
Journey.
They also queued you up to expect him to be Sauron.
That's what I'm saying. Because here comes the White Wizard. It's like, trouble.
Oh, no, not that one.
They also put Christopher Lee's voice... mixed over top of Ian McKellen's voice purposefully to mess with people. Yeah,
good answer. Another character.
Well, I know in the DC universe it happens a couple times.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Green Lantern.
The obvious one is Green Lantern becoming Parallax.
I'm wearing my Green Lantern shirt right now.
It goes from like a regular Green Lantern to being able to literally warp time and space.
Yeah.
But then you have other heroes. Like, there's a point where Batman... in something called the Dark Side War, from the New 52, Batman gets a hold of the Mobius chair, which is one of the new gods, is the smartest new god. He has this chair that gives him basically omnipresent sight, or omniscience.
Yeah,
and so he can see and know everything. So Batman, when fighting Darkseid, gets a hold of this chair and ends up becoming the god of knowledge.
Yeah. He knows everything.
He even knows who the Joker is. Mm. Like, that's one of the big plot lines, is that he finds out who the Joker is.
It's Jared Leto.
Yeah.
From 30 Seconds to Mars.
I knew it. But then you also have, Superman. Becoming Superman Blue.
I was going to say, don't say Superman Blue.
But he's so cool.
Superman Blue gets a whole new set of powers. He becomes, an electrical superhero.
And he, feeds off of radiation and stuff like that. Yeah. It's so, you have these super powerful and amazing characters, but they get to that next level.
Yeah, they evolve up. There was a limited run in the 90s when Spider-Man got the power cosmic too, and he could fly, and it was pretty cool.
That's pretty dope.
Donna from Doctor Who.
Oh yeah. Ooh,
becomes Dr. Donna.
Oh yeah.
The most important woman in the universe.
That's really good.
Oh, that's
a good answer.
Think of that?
Good
it makes
answer.
Me cry every time.
And then
I'm like.
And the doctor has to erase her memory at the end.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, my goodness. That's a great answer.
I feel like all the companions end up kind of moving
bad
up.
Wolf.
Or dead.
Or dead.
Even Martha Jones becomes bad to the bone.
Stranded on a beach.
But she was a doctor to begin with, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true.
More of a recent one, Loki. In the MCU.
Okay, that's good.
It starts off as granted, I know you didn't love the series as much as I did, the season 2 of Loki.
I love
it. But, the juxtaposition of him in Thor, where we first meet him, including, specific things that he says, and it kind of wraps up at the end of his story in Loki season 2, where he just, and I don't want to spoil anything because it's still relatively new, but he decides to make some selfless choices. Calls back. It was actually Tom Hiddleston's idea to call back lines that he said in the first Thor movie and kind of reshape the meaning of them based on how Loki has changed.
Tom Hiddleston's such a good actor.
I think, and again, I don't want to spoil anything, but I probably will accidentally here. I think it's a really interesting thing for Loki because of the way his character evolves and kind of becomes the next level version of himself in that one. Because a lot of characters, like Tony Stark, can lay down his life, can give his life. Loki does the exact opposite and sacrifices his life and his purpose to this glorious burden. So,
good
answer. Ollie, I feel like this is something that's probably very prevalent in anime. Can you think of any anime examples of here's a character and then here's the...
I was thinking something animated at first, but then I did come up with the anime one.
I knew you would.
Naruto.
Yes.
Yes. And it's I was waiting
Tell
for
them, Oliver.
Absolutely. I mean,
sign of the Celia.
He started out as basically this punk kid who was running around playing tricks and all kinds of stuff. And then eventually he becomes the leader of his whole village. After he goes through a lot of trials and tribulations and everything.
What about Dragon Ball?
Yeah.
Would you consider like characters, because Goku and I guess Vegeta too, they level up several times.
Yeah. Yes, many
There's
times.
There's lots of screaming.
Every time their hair changes color.
Yes. It's gross.
Yeah.
Because Super Saiyan 1, which is like the golden hair.
Yeah, like Sonic the Hedgehog.
But
right?
Then he I think Super Saiyan 3 is when he gets a big old brow, and then his hair goes all the way down his calves.
There's just a lot of screaming involved.
But then his hair turns blue. What is that one?
That's Trunks.
They call it Super Saiyan Blue. They do. But it's I think, was it Super Saiyan God?
God, I think so.
Yeah.
We call it Super Saiyan Gosh.
Yeah. little G.
Okay, gotcha.
But then you have the villain from Dragon Ball Cell, who has literally different progressions, where he starts off just as regular Cell.
Yep.
Then he's, I forgot what they call the second one, but then he keeps leveling up by absorbing people's powers.
As one does.
By absorbing people.
Yeah.
Wait, literally. Did you absorb Celia? Is that what's going on here?
Now I am perfect Cell. But then he becomes perfect Cell. Yeah. So he gets more power.
Boo did that too, right?
I think he ate people.
Oh, yeah. From
he turned them into
cooks.
Monster Zing.
There's Kitty.
Character
nobody touches
ever.
Little Mikey.
Majin Buu, Kid Buu, Super Buu.
And then Oob at the end when he comes.
Oob, that's just Boo backwards.
Oh. Yeah.
Ooh woo.
Pokemon are the same way. Pokemon, the whole idea
evolution.
Of Pokemon is
evolution,
right? And then 100%. Mega evolutions came along.
Yeah, we don't believe in that.
No.
In the beginning.
Tommy Oliver.
God created Tommy Oliver.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
oh.
That's solid.
He was a bad guy.
He was even not a bad guy, but he was the Green Ranger with a whole selection of Green Ranger powers.
Yes.
And then he became the mega powerful
White Ranger.
Like Power Ranger Messiah.
And then he became the Red Ranger, and then he became the Blue Ranger,
and then he became a doctor.
X-Men is really big about this.
Oh yeah.
Jean Grey, a great character in her own right, becomes the Phoenix.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have Angel, who
becomes
Archangel. Yeah. Like completely different character, right? Like a whole look, whole different set of powers. Now, I was just reading this. I haven't read the stories, but even Iceman, who's just a regular, ordinary, run-of-the-mill founding member of the X-Men, right? Like Bobby Drake, nothing super famous and whatever. Mm-hmm. But I guess Emma Frost looked into his mind and realized that there was all of this untapped potential in him.
Yes.
And that he is actually an Omega-level mutant. One of the most powerful mutants
that's crazy.
In existence.
Nice.
And Iceman can control ice across the entire world. He can sink the world into an ice age if he is unchecked with his powers. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So again, these same familiar characters. One that I was thinking of, do you guys remember The Matrix?
Yeah. I've only seen the first one.
Oh yeah.
It's
Neo.
Been a
Neo. Yeah.
Yeah. It goes from being Tom.
Anderson.
Mr. Anderson.
That's right. The savior of the world. His name is Tom.
And then
I'm friends with him on MySpace.
Thomas.
Yeah.
Thomas, who would be the doubting disciple, right?
Oh.
And then Anderson. Andrew means man, son. So he's the.
And Neo is one.
He is
in an anagram.
The doubting son of man.
Oh, man.
That's got a lot of layers.
Okay.
Wow. Like
hello.
An onion.
Yeah. So,
But then Neo means new. Right.
Yeah. And Trinity, I can't think of anything for that. So, I think that there's all all these different examples of this, and I love this idea because as you, Alexandria, are stepping out of one phase in your graduation. I know I wish Lizmati was here to kind of share a little bit about her experience. Charlotte, you are a gainfully employed photographer who is about to strike out on your own. And become your own boss.
Get a girl.
Which, by the way, if you are within striking distance of Charlotte Cannon Photography, do we have a proper name? Charlotte Eleanor Photography. Remiss to not use her services for your weddings, your graduations, your bar mitzvahs.
Hit up CE Photography.
Wakes.
Yeah.
Wakes.
Please no.
Upcharge, baby.
Births.
And she'll travel for an additional fee.
A bris.
You know, we're over here looking at a countdown clock right now that in 139 days, 14 hours, 41 minutes, and 45 seconds, we are going to be launching a new church. And it's a big evolution, a big step for us, for me personally. How do you think the concept of leveling up in these stories that we're talking about reflects the personal journey in our own lives?
I think, like, in, like, our walk with Jesus, obviously, I mean, it's pretty synonymous with how he wants us to live, especially with the whole, you know, dying to yourself. I mean, in baptism, you metaphorically die and rise again
right.
to become a new creation.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, I mean, like, that's a solid point, yeah.
Because we're still going to be ourselves, but our, like, inward parts, like, our heart gets changed and our mind gets renewed to something that's more Christ-like.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. How does Super Saiyan Vegeta or whatever, how do the stories of these character evolutions going from one level to the next level sort of resonate with you on a personal level?
I mean, I actually just, like, had this conversation earlier this week about how different we can approach and react to situations based on, like, I've had this question posed to me before, is how would past you from, like, 10 years ago mm-hmm. think about you today and how you dealt with the situation?
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And there's been an evolution, there's been a growth, there's been a promotion, and, like, your walk and your faith and how you handle things, because yeah. 10 years ago Jackie would not expect current Jackie to be doing and handling the things that she's doing yeah. today. And I like to think that past me would be very proud of myself
yeah.
and how much I've been able to grow and see the growth and the work that God's done in my life to get me to this point.
Wow, what a great thing to be able to say about yourself.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. I'm really proud of you.
We see a lot of examples in the Bible of characters, like Moses, for example.
That's great. That's exactly what I had in mind, too.
Who goes from being a member of the palace mm-hmm. Family to being a murderer. And then God using him as just a lonely farmer or shepherd to shepherd a nation.
And yeah. and remember, like, in Moses' calling, in that moment where God calls him, Moses is like, no, I don't think so, not me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Moses initially was resistant to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I think when we're at one place, mm-hmm. the draw of going to the next level, the idea of being invited to another experience that's beyond our comfort zone, even if it comes with promotion,
yeah.
can be very scary.
Oh, terrifying.
And the temptation can be very real to just, like, let's just stay where we are.
And we try to, like, count ourselves out, too, because, like, if you think about it, Moses wasn't saying, no, it can't be me, and correct me if I am wrong, Tony, but he wasn't like, oh, because I killed somebody. Like, because I was a murderer, I can't do this. It's, no, I'm not able to do it. Like, I'm not built that way. And God's like, yeah. no, I'm still going to use you. Like, yeah. I'm going to provide a way for you to do that. Yeah. And it was a lot of the times I feel like we want to count ourselves out, sometimes with what we've done, but a lot of times it's we don't think we're good enough.
Yeah. I think that Moses knew. I think that to some level, this is maybe my Old Testament fan fiction here, but I think that to some level, Moses knew that he had was in a unique position when he was in Egypt. And that's why when he saw the Hebrew getting accosted by the Egyptian, that was what prompted his murder. Yeah. Was there was some part of Moses that realized that he was designed and he was destined to set these people free.
Yeah.
And he just went about it before it was his time to do it, right?
That's really good.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think what's really cool is that, like, you can look throughout scripture, even in the Old Testament, and see that there are these obvious moments of transformation.
Right.
And so for Moses, that was under a covenant that Moses had with God. But the encouragement that we have now as, like, believers in Christ is that we're under a new covenant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that the transformation looks totally different because we have access to a truth and a freedom that they longed for and hoped for. But Paul encourages the Corinthians that now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So we have access to freedom, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Yep, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so we have access to this unveiled version of what Moses hoped to see.
I love that you mentioned that, and that's a great verse, perfect, because remember when Moses first encountered God at the burning bush, mm-hmm. and Moses had to take his shoes off, mm-hmm. right? Moses went from the guy whose feet were unprepared to stand in the presence mm-hmm. of God to be the guy whose face looked directly at God, yeah. so much so that when he came down, he had to wear a veil.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right. It was the guy who, I can't even stand in the presence of this bush, mm-hmm. which won't be consumed, to being the guy that I'm going to come down yeah. and in a metaphorical way, be a burning bush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even at that point, too, for Moses, he begged to see God's face. He said, Lord, I will only go where you go if you show me your face that I know I can make it. But now we have access to that. And I think that's, it's almost insane to think that we have like this untapped, like, ability to move from glory to glory until we reach the point where we're made like Jesus.
Phenomenal cosmic power.
No, not quite.
Itty bitty living space.
I think the thing that helps us access that is faith. Taking leaps of faith. We see David, a lonely little shepherd boy, take down a giant using just his faith in a sling and a single rock. And then he becomes a hunted man, and eventually he becomes a king.
Right.
So it really comes down to
you've having, come a long way, baby.
Yeah. I think the big part of us accessing that evolution is putting faith and trust in God.
Right. Right.
When we step up into the or faced with those opportunities to grow.
Yeah. Yeah, because for our evolution, it doesn't come from eating Pokemon candy or sitting in a Mobius chair or anything like that. Yeah. Right. It comes from faith. It comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. Right. Yeah. So it's all from God. It's all for God. Mm. But I think you mentioned David facing Goliath. I don't think it's out of the question that some of the biggest evolution moments that we have, the biggest step forward, maybe evolution's a bad word for it, but some of the steps that stand between us and the next level of us can look like challenges. It can look like giants. Yeah. It can look like the things that make us really reconsider whether we should have left the house this morning. Right? but we shouldn't be daunted by that. We should be encouraged by that. That's the way that the characters in our stories overcome their obstacles, and I think that's how maybe God is inviting us to go through some tough things. I mean, everybody around this table in one season or another has gone through really rough things.
Yeah.
Jackie, you talked about 10 years ago, Jackie.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been a path from 10 years ago till today that's been free of tears, that's been free of scars.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you being willing to go through those things and keep your faith and keep your focus and keep God at the center of all that has gotten you to where you are. Imagine what would it be like if God told you right now, you haven't even started yet.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine what 10 years
goosebumps
from now. Imagine what Jackie Diaz is going to think about.
Oh,
yeah. But that's encouraging, and I hope that you guys will realize that God did not call you to where you are to remain static, to remain to let moss grow on you, and just say, "All right, well, this is the end of my story." There, until Jesus comes back, or until you make it to Him, there's still story to be written, and there's still new levels because we serve an unlimited. A God of tremendous potential in our lives, and you are a people of potential. So I want to encourage you, challenge you, motivate you, elevate you. If there are things in your life, if there are habits in your life, if there are people in your life, if there are circumstances that might be shot blocking you from following God closer, from loving Him greater, from stepping out into that faith, maybe those things need to be reallocated. Maybe those things need to be pushed aside. If Moses had been in love with being a prince of Egypt, we would have never had the Exodus, right? God would have had to raise somebody else up. If David had decided, listen, man, that ain't my job. That ain't my job. I am a shepherd. I am not going to go fight a giant. That's ridiculous. Then we wouldn't have a king from whom, you know, we get Jesus. So there's so many things. What will come from you? By you stepping up, stepping out, facing challenges, doing the hard thing.
To paint the nerdy picture of that, I think of Bilbo Baggins, who was very comfortable in his hobbit hole in the Shire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he stepped out and took a leap of faith to go on an unexpected journey.
Yeah.
And look at what happened.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great example.
Yeah. To build upon that, Samwise Gamgee in the cornfield.
We're done here.
No. Okay, fine. Nope. It's going to be good. Not saying enough. Nope.
I'm
nope.
just teasing.
Nope. We're done here.
This is a 203 episode, 202 episode.
I was not going to mention the fact that without Samwise Gamgee, the story is kaput. But if you want to bring that up, we can. No, just Samwise and Frodo in the cornfield when he realizes this is the furthest I've ever gone away from home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he takes that next step.
Well, let me ask you a question then. And this will sort of be the maybe a little side quest. Sam doesn't have the same level of growth as a character, I think, that Frodo has. Sam's like great from the beginning, and he's a little timid and cowardly, and he overcomes that by just being. But it's an extension of his selflessness. We see that at the beginning of Fellowship, and we see that in the fires of Mount Doom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas Frodo really takes. He is the one that experiences the elevation like Bilbo did before mm-hmm. him, right? Because being a bearer of the ring brings transformation on a more radical level. You see that because Frodo can no longer be content with the Shire. Sam has no problem going back to the Shire. I mean, they all long for adventure, and but Frodo can't. And I think that sometimes when we evolve past, when mm-hmm. we grow past our certain things, there might be places that are comfort places for us that we just can't go back to.
Mm-hmm.
And that is tough.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to let go. But I think that when God is calling you and leading you into things, he'll send the people alongside of you that will help you, that will sometimes carry you, like a Sam. And but God has always got something for his people that's better mm-hmm. than what we leave behind to follow.
That sounds Amen. Familiar.
Well, that's our time for tonight, you guys, and I'm so grateful to have been able to share this conversation with you guys, and I hope that you feel challenged and encouraged. Congratulations to our graduates, present and unaccounted for, and boy, I'm just I'm so grateful as we're coming close to the end of season 8 here. Can you believe it? That we get to do this journey together, and I love you guys. I bless you guys, and thank you for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode, please go to your favorite podcast location. Leave us a review. Say some nice things. If you can't say anything nice about the show, just say Jackie's pretty and leave
it's
us some
audio
stars.
Podcast.
where most of us are at our prettiest.
I have a face for radio.
Leave us some stars. We love them when they come in fives. Thank you so much. And if you want to be a part of the financial blessing of the Nerd of Godcast, then by all means, visit us at patreon.com/nerdofgodcast. That's patreon.com/nerdofgodcast. If you want to hear a little bit more from me, you can check me out. I got to be on the Invested with Purpose podcast.
I saw that.
Really, really fun. It's an interesting podcast where they primarily talk about financial advice and business leader stuff, and I got to go in there and talk about MegaCon. So
I love it.
Nice.
I tried to give them a default like disclaimer. I was like, listen, I'm just going to tell you my financial portfolio is limited to a drawer full of Steak and Shake coupons.
But if you would like to invest in MegaCon next
that's
year.
Right, that's right. By all means. So anyway, by all means, check that out anywhere you listen to podcasts, Invested with Purpose. And for all of us here at the Nerd of Godcast, thank you for being with us tonight. For Steve-O Supremo.
Stay fresh, cheese bags.
Jamaican Ollie.
Yaman.
Big man Quentin Gregory Neff.
Bye-bye.
Alexandria Marga.
Say yes to the adventure.
Jackie freaking Wilson.
Bye.
Charlotte the intern.
Toodaloo.
Nick the engineer.
Goodbye.
And I'm Tony T. Until next time, we ain't gots to go home.
But we can't stay here.
Charlotte is over here smelling her marker.
Yeah, this smells amazing.
And no, it does not. These are not the scentable
Steven,
markers.
Steven, what's your marker smell like?
Marker.
It doesn't. You. How would you know? Because Jackie has all the freaking markers.
Oh, I do.
Oh, it's because you set them out here.
Wait, yeah, I want the
to
purple
be passed
one.
Out.
Okay.
Charlotte was busy sniffing markers.
I didn't even see
Hitler's
them. They were in my perif. Like
they're
the
all
mic
the same,
was blocking
they're all
them.
The same scent.
Do you need one?
Those are not different scented markers.
You're the same scent.